This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello, a very happy new year and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you in association with Giovanni's. A new year for Cardiff City, a very mixed festive period for them as well. But it's good to be back with Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato.
Good afternoon, one and all. Happy New Year to you all.
2nd of January, Blakey's just about recovering from New Year's Eve.
Just about, yeah. Still feel a bit heavy.
He did his duty at the game yesterday like a trooper though.
Yes. Soldiered on.
And Paul had a quiet one over the New Year, I believe.
Well, I was working, wasn't I? But Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes.
Where do we start then? For these four festive games since we last recorded a podcast, I mean, it's tempting to start with the most recent one, which was probably put us in a bit of a dampening mood. But Blakey, we'll go back in time, or we'll look at the Man United game, which started the festive period off in a disastrous fashion, really.
Yeah.
A very, very quick take on that, and where you thought that went wrong?
Not that it went wrong. I just thought, when they sacked Mourinho, I did say to you, hopefully there might be still a bit of a hangover, but it wasn't the case. They just sat there, you know.
And in fairness, they've gone.
They haven't played anyone who's worth really talking about. If we're talking Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'll be impressed if you get them in Champions League. Other than that, mate, we could have gone in and done the same job, really. I think it's that easy. There are some great players there. So, reflecting on the Cardiff game, 5-1, I mean, it was almost like everyone had a point to prove after Mourinho had gone. Everyone wanted to show that how good a player they were. It was just a non-contest, really. I thought they were superb. And I thought we were just, couldn't keep up.
You could almost group the Man United and the Spurs games together in a way. Home games where Cardiff were blown away early doors by a team seemingly with a point to prove. Spurs obviously had lost the game against Wolves. Was there anything Cardiff could have done about either?
Cardiff couldn't either shape up on their, I say it all the time, they can't handle rotation.
When you say rotation, you just mean the sort of fluid changing of positions of the forward players.
Yeah, so yesterday, what you've seen yesterday, right? Is Harry Kane will come from the central position, striker, come about 10 yards off, say, Morrison, and then he moved to his right-hand side. And sometimes Winks will go in behind him. Sometimes, who else was there?
Ali or Eriksen.
Ali would go in behind him, or Ali would be the centre-forward. Eriksen would be on the left. Sometimes Eriksen was central. Sometimes Ali was deep. Sometimes Winks was ahead of them. Who was on the right?
Son was there.
Son and
Sissoko was Sissoko. Just everywhere.
Sissoko. That's rotation. That's what I'm talking about. They don't stay in one position. As they move, the idea is, the first time I played against it was against Germany many, many moons ago for Wales. And they were brilliant that day. As long as there is a player in that position, you're not thinking, right, there's no centre-forward and there's no left wing. So when Harry Kane comes short and, say, Dele Alli runs straight down the middle, if he doesn't get the ball and they decide to keep it, he then stays at the front of attack.
What's the best way of dealing with it?
Well, you've got to just stay in your positions, pass people on, and you've got to commit, basically. And whoever comes into your space, you've got to attach yourself to that person.
Well, I was going to bring in this
question. Only momentarily, though. You can't attach yourself and follow them like from one side of the pitch to the other.
Right.
Yeah. You, because you know, if I'm moving out of this space and leaving it empty, someone they're moving me out of this space for someone to move into it. So the idea is, you have to be well organized, but like I said, you have to commit to it. You can't have like someone going on a press. Three people going on a press,
you're and then the fourth person.
Everybody's got to be attached to somebody.
This is the question that Amir Jones on Twitter. I was going to bring it up later, but it seems very relevant because obviously Cardiff go larger with a man marking system. He says, "How difficult is man marking to coach, and how hard is it to forget?" He says Cardiff seem to get dragged all over the gaff.
Because it's not. That's my point. It's not difficult to coach.
But he makes, Amir Wynne-Jones, he makes a very good point, because what's he actually says that how difficult is it to coach, or how easy is it to forget? Because Cardiff defensively have always been good, and yet they're just all over the shop at the moment.
So Paul, the point I keep trying to make, and I said this to the BBC boys, I wish one of you had asked the question, because I know what Neil's going to come out with. You know, they're a much better team. They've got the likes of Eriksen, Ali, Kane. They're worth this, that and the other. But you're avoiding the obvious. There's a white elephant in the room, and it's called rotation. And your team hasn't been able to deal with it, like I said, since
Wolves.
The Championship. No, Sheffield Wednesday.
That's right, yeah.
Dealt with us.
A year ago.
Right? Over a year ago. Almost 2 years ago. So at what point do you say, stop letting these points drift away? Because you might need to go to Old Trafford on the last day of the season and be so organised, like when Wolves went to Tottenham the other day, went to Wembley, so organised and have a game plan, and they cope with that rotation, no problem. So you might have to go to Old Trafford and get a point. So you wanna have every tool in your bag. I don't understand why it's taking so long for us to be able to cope with rotation. Bournemouth done us with it at the start of the season, and here we are, you know, halfway through the season, and teams are still doing to us, and we're still. I watched Cunningham yesterday. There was times Junior came on. Junior's playing as a left back. Cunningham's inside and in like a left central midfield position.
I think this is
like a half and half, trying to waiting to follow his man where
I
he
think
goes.
This is Emil Wynne-Jones's point.
Yeah,
it's around Cunningham. Yeah. He seems to be man marking, but where's
he? He didn't know. Listen, just stay in your space. Stay in the left back position. Let Junior. Right. So, the point is where Cunningham is. All he has to do is stay in the left back position and talk to Junior. Yeah, what happens is the right back runs forward, Junior as the left winger follows him into the Cunningham's position. The right winger for them drops into midfield, so Cunningham then drops into midfield as a left sided. No, stay, that's rotation. They're running you, so because what? First and foremost, the winger doesn't want to defend that deep, he doesn't want to be in a left back position, right? He'll go back so far, but he's not a defender.
That's obviously what's worked for Cardiff, largely under Neil Warnock, the man-marking system.
It can work. Listen, it can work. And it can work. It becomes harder even in the Championship, because a lot of Championship teams, Sheffield United, I watched them the other day against Derby, both brilliant. They both got a bit of rotation in them. So it's becoming more and more prevalent in our game. What I don't understand is we've had, like, say, Kevin Blackwell and Ronnie Jepson in as coaches since day one, and yet the problem has just continued. Match after match, month after month, season after season, or season beyond season. And I don't get that. I don't understand why you wouldn't send your troops into battle with everything you possibly got. And when you recognise, well, that's causing us a problem, okay, well, we're not going to go man for man, because this team, it's not Southampton we're playing against, or Fulham, or Burnley. We can't go man for man. What we're going to do, we're going to sit in our position and we're going to let them rotate and we're going to pass on. We're going to talk and we're going to organise and blah, 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 blah. But it takes hours on a training ground. And I say all the time, it's mundane, it's horrible, it's stop start, and it's this weather, now it's cold. But it's the things you do pre-season. It's just another tactical thing you've got to have in your locker to say, right, when I come up against it, whoa, they're rotating. Or pre-game, you know, we're playing Spurs on the weekend, they rotate. So, fellas, we're going to go back to the system we played 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago against Wolves, or last week against Man United. Then, when you come up against Burnley, okay, you switch a bit, because they don't rotate. Leicester don't rotate. You know, Vardy's that central man all the time, very often. You know what I mean? You might pull out the one side, but you have to be able to, your team's got to be able to cope with it. Because it just keeps, I can't get that over my head. I can't. I was on radio speaking about it yesterday. I can't. It is. It's because if you deal with it, I'm sure that might give you that one extra point you might need come the end of the season.
But you're right, Neil Warnock may well rightly say, whatever we do against Tottenham, Man United isn't likely to be successful because they have got such a higher calibre of player.
Anyone can beat anybody in the Premier League.
Can they, Blakey? Because they're not doing this either.
Yeah, no, they can, yeah. Did Wolves not just beat Man City?
One game in however many hundred games.
Did they not end up beat Tottenham?
It's Blakey, they are rarities, those games.
They happen, though. Did we not beat Man City when the last time we were in the Premier League? Second game of the season, did we not? Will you not see other surprises this season?
It doesn't happen.
Did Crystal Palace not go and beat Man City?
It doesn't happen as often as it used to.
It doesn't matter. Did Leicester not win the title?
Well, I don't think we're going to get a Leicester for another
20, 30 years. No, but my point is, Dominic, you can't approach the game by saying, oh, well, it's not going to happen.
No, I'm not saying, obviously, you obviously try.
The problem is, what I'm trying to point out to you, Dominic, is more teams are doing it. It's not just Man City's, Tottenham's and Arsenal's.
No, I understand
now that. Bournemouth's are doing it. Now Wolves are doing it. Now Palace are doing it. Now, so the more and more... So it doesn't matter. If one team would do it, learn how to cope with it. Don't just say to me, well, it's only one game, so we'll kind of leave it for one game.
No, I'm saying whatever.
As a player, whatever, I want to go into battle with my gun, my grenades, my everything.
Everything. To cope.
You know?
But what I'm saying, whatever Cardiff did against some teams may not be enough. They could defend,
but we'll never know,
as
Dominic.
Well as they can possibly do, and they may still
No. We'll never know, because tactically you're already starting from second place.
But we better talk about a positive from the period, which has been the away form. So what has been the reason behind that? Because against Leicester, I thought Cardiff defended magnificently,
mm-hmm.
and they actually attacked clinically as well at the same time. That was so different to those two home performances.
Well, there's your answer, isn't it? You've just said it. They defended magnificently, and then they attacked, counter-attacked.
But did they defend with the same system that they did against Spurs?
I didn't go up to the Leicester game.
I think they largely did, actually, Nathan. I think it was largely the same basic man-to-man system that they've been using.
But Leicester, I did say to you earlier on, Leicester don't rotate as much. They have a Vardy down one side, they have play with wingers. They don't rotate as much.
They've still got quality attacking players, though, Nathan.
Which means you can beat them. I don't see the point you're trying to make. I don't see what you're trying to say is...
The point I'm making is Cardiff's system has been successful in some games and it hasn't been in others. And that might be the case with every system that you try.
Yes, I get that. But if you're going into a game and not having all the tools at your disposal, how will you ever know whether you could have beaten them? So let's just say then, Dominic, right? You get to the last game of the season, which is Manchester United away, right? And you're a point behind, say, Southampton.
Yeah.
Right? And you're 2 points behind. So you need 3 points. You need a win. What do you say? We may as well not play that game?
No, that's obviously not.
Okay, then do you go to that game? If you personally now, how would you want to go to that game? Fully prepared or 99% prepared?
Well, I'd want a repeat of the Leicester performance away from home.
That's not my question. Would you want to go fully prepared? Would you want to go fully prepared or as well prepared as you can be?
Obviously, you want to go as fully prepared, and I'm sure that Kevin Blackwell or whoever's in charge of the defensive preparation on the training ground will feel Cardiff have been as prepared as they could be.
How can you be if you're not dealing with rotation?
Cardiff will say we're 4 points above the relegation zone, we're 16th.
I don't care if you're second. I don't care if you're second. My point is, when you come up against a certain system, it's got the better of you for an awfully long time.
Cast a deciding vote. Because me and Nathan are not going to agree.
Well, we're not going to agree because I'm right and you're wrong. Simple as that, mate. You know, at the end of the day, I said to you yesterday, I looked at you yesterday, and you said to me, what? What did you say to me?
Rotation.
So what are you arguing with me about? Are you playing devil's advocate?
I'm also suggesting that Cardiff will rightly defend their record this season, no matter what they've been doing.
You can defend your record.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that. That's not my point. My point is, I want my club to be as best as it can be. Now, if I see something as a fault, I should ignore it, pretend like it's not there.
It's obviously something that's quite complex that they definitely need to develop. I agree with you. They need to work on it and develop it because they're not coping. But they would may say at this stage, listen, we're doing everything we can.
Well, you're not.
Well, maybe they have tried it in training, and maybe it's worked disastrously. We don't know, you know.
If they're not, because they've not tried it in the game. So how do you know?
Because they could have tried it in training and maybe Gary Medin scored.
That's in training. What you do is keep doing it, and over time, you don't just do it once. That's what I'm saying, Dom. It's not. Rob Phillips said to me on radio, "Oh, half time. What do you think? Blah blah blah." Well, there's nothing you can do in 15-minute talk. It's months, weeks, hours on the training ground. It's something you start pre-season and probably still working out today. But today, rather than doing it for 2 hours or an hour and a half, like you were pre-season, by today, you just go over it for 20 minutes. It's a brush up, it's a reminders, a few trigger points, blah, 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 blah. To me, I just don't see how you can not have that in your arsenal when it's been caused you a problem for such a long time.
No, and I agree on that completely.
Because it might be the thing that ends up relegating you, goal difference. Yeah, because when you come up against these teams who can rotate, you're getting bop threes, fours, fives. And it might just come down to level points, goal difference at the end of the season. And then you'll be annoyed at yourself for not actually going and trying to work on that system which kept giving you a problem. Because you've dropped points there, you've dropped points there, you've dropped points there and there. You know, we only needed one of those games to maybe, you know,
get a point. We can definitely accept that Cardiff are working with limitations that some clubs in the Premier League simply don't have. So, from that point of view...
Absolutely. Listen, I'm not saying... This is not a criticism of where they are in their season. 18 points effectively from 12 games, would you say? First five or six games were a write-off.
Yeah.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
So they've got 18 points effectively from 12 games, 13 games max. So repeat that, they stay up, no problem. So, but to go forward and progress... Go and add something else to your arsenal.
Definitely, if they can add strengths, I'm well in favour of that. But I've got to play devil's advocate sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love you for it.
Paul, come on, you need to come down on one side or the other.
Well, I'm glad to get a word in before I thought it was going to be January 2020. I think for me the fundamental difference between Leicester and Tottenham was Cardiff controlled the Leicester game. The midfield played a lot narrower. Gunnarsson, Camarasa and Rowles, they hunted...
Arter, wasn't it, against Leicester?
What am I talking about? Gunnarsson, Arter and Camarasa, they hunted as a trio. You wouldn't know it looking at the match of day highlights, but trust me, that was Cardiff's best performance of the season. They actually, for the first time this season, I felt they controlled a game of football. But that midfield was pulled all over the place, whether it was rotation or whatever, they were pulled all over the place by Spurs's superior players, I suppose you could call them, but the Leicester's midfielders are good as well. Mm. They were just pulled over the place and they didn't have any control. And when they defend in the calamitous nature that we saw for all three goals, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
All of which started down Cardiff's left, where Joe Bennett should have been playing. Who knows? That may have made a difference.
Well, is there an issue with that back four? Because I'm not sure why Cunningham played well against Leicester, but I think Joe Bennett is the superior left-back. We've said that, Paul. And there are calls on social media, this is just me relaying what the fans are saying,
that maybe
Sean Morrison needs to a spell out of the team and that Bruno Manga should play at centre-back.
Well, Blakey's been advocating this for a while, to be fair, so Blakey can come in on this in a minute.
No, please.
I was getting this on social media myself, about we've got to get a new centre-back, blah, blah, blah. And my response was, well, look, if Nathaniel Clyne does come in, and it's a big if, but big if he yeah. were to, wouldn't a back four of Clyne, Manga, Bamba and Bennett be a very, very capable Premier League back four? I don't necessarily buy that argument. But Morrison was excellent at Leicester, it has to be said.
Yeah.
So...
He's probably one of those. It's a lot easier said than done. He struggles with the rotation, you know, as much as.
That's what messed him up yesterday for the first goal.
Yeah.
You look where he was and then where he ended up. He ended up inside the box, round about the penalty spot, but beyond the back three. That's my point.
And for that,
as a player, you, if something's doing you right, because you've seen it against Man United, you've seen it against Watford. The players are deliberating with each other. They're trying to say, "As Gunnarsson talking to the bench sometimes." And
but would like, a Klein maybe saying, coming in? Would he have that knowledge of how to play the system a bit better? Someone like a Klein?
You need 11 players doing it, mate. You need your subs to all be able to do it.
Watch the first goal back. Yeah, I think it's Trippier bombs down the right for Tottenham. Mm. I think Dele Alli, I think it is, cuts inside. You watch it back. Cunningham goes with Dele Alli, completely leaves the space free on the right for the cross.
Mm.
Dele Alli wasn't Cunningham's man. That was the centre-back's man, or the centre midfielder to track back with it.
Mm.
And it just left the space on the right. And then we had that comedy of errors, which you could argue was an unfortunate goal. But Warnock would be the first to admit that was a goal Cardiff shouldn't have conceded. They keep doing it against these better teams early in the game. It's almost like it's game over very early. You know, Man United scored early, Man City scored early,
Arsenal scored early.
And all these teams rotate, right?
That might just be coincidence, mind the way.
It would be a massive coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences, Paul. I believe that everything happens for a reason. When it happens, if it's a negative, you change it, or you attempt to change it, or you try to change it. Now, my point is, it just keeps happening against these teams that do this or play this certain
way. There are also teams, Blakey, with higher standards of players.
It's both.
I think it's both things. It's the rotation seems to definitely be an issue,
mm.
but also when you're against a Martial and a Pogba and Rashford, and when you're against Ali and Eriksen and Kane. You know, they're higher standards than Palace and Leicester.
You do realise Watford probably done to us what Spurs done to us at Watford the other day.
Yeah, but it was 3-2 and Spurs was 3-0.
Are you going to try and claim those two goals?
Well, Cardiff at least put themselves in a chance.
That could have been about seven. Right.
That game was over.
And now you're talking Wetsy. I can't give you that one, mate.
Against these much better teams, would five at the back help with Morrison, Manga, Bamba, Bennett, and possibly Nathaniel Clyne? It could do.
The problem you got, Paul, is that you're giving away, like yesterday, 70-odd% possession, 75, I think.
Which wasn't the case at Leicester, by the way.
Right.
But, yeah.
So if that's the case, then if you're going to give up possession, then there's no pressing up high in the final third. Everyone comes back into what I call drops into the final third, the deep block, and you counter attack. Did you watch Wolves Tottenham? It's what Wolves done. Everyone back, drop down, deep block. Sometimes even a striker is 10, 15 yards inside the halfway line in his own half, defending, and you've got 11 players all behind the ball. But then what you need is that pace to be able to counter attack. And a pattern of how you're going to counter-attack. When that ball breaks down in midfield or it's headed away and you win the second ball, it's being able to go bop, bop, 2 or 3 5-yard passes. But if you look at Wolves, both of their wingers are gone and they're wide. So you always got an outlet. That's committing to a transition.
When we talk about fullbacks and Cardiff's fullbacks.
No, they're wingers. They're not fullbacks.
Well, Wolves play with that wingers, five at the back system, don't they?
Wolves wingers are wingbacks.
Yeah.
Touching each line.
So Doherty and Johnny
Castro.
So as soon as I look up, I know, or I don't even have to look up, I know if I ping this ball from right to left or left to right or down, I know one of those people are going to be there or in and around that vicinity, which then gives me an option to get out. But they've got to have pace. So there's patterns of play. I just think we can do more.
Yeah, it's about building on it. Kind of giving themselves a platform. It's
absolutely
about building on that.
And why not think to yourself, rather than just think about, yes, okay, we want to stave off relegation, but we also want to try and, you know, be in a safe zone before we get the last two games of the season. Yeah. Right.
As soon as possible would be ideal.
Right.
Let's talk, before we have a break, about probably the most positive aspect of this period of games, which I think is Victor Camarasa.
Mm.
Now, I think that by hook or by crook, Cardiff have stumbled upon a player here who can take them to the next level, Blakey, like you've been saying. Obviously, you spoke about Aaron Ramsey maybe signing him. I think that's probably gone out the window. He's now in talks with five of European football's biggest clubs. But in Camarasa, they've found someone there who they'd love to have permanently and can drive them on to higher things.
Yeah, but I think realistically, you want to speak realistically, I think if you're Camarasa, you're putting yourself on show, kind of. I've seen alerts who have been alerted to him, and I've heard rumours of other people taking and showing an interest of him. Right.
Well, something natural with performances like he's been playing.
Right. So if you're a player, you want to know that, you know, I don't want to be fighting relegation next year. I want to be in and amongst, you know, mid-table, you know, quite comfortable, blah de blah de blah. So my point is, by improving everything and building and showing intent, I know it was, you know, mocked, really, the Aaron Ramsey thing, but if you show intent to players of that calibre, you attract players of that calibre. Right? Now, you're not going to hold players of that calibre if you're only thinking, right, survival, 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 and this is how we play, and this is how we do, and we're not going to progress to go to... Okay, well...
You've got to walk before you run, then.
Why would you expect, then, Camarasa to... He will stay till the end of the season. He's already committed his future to the end of the season. But beyond that, you've got to then show intent to the player. This is the direction, this is the kind of thing we're going for. So I think he's become, you know, we knew he's pivotal. We've said it for months.
Mm.
You know, he needs to be in a three, did we not?
Yeah, well, he's playing the position we wanted him, and he's thriving.
We've said many, many, many occasions that Cardiff were playing with a two, you need to play with a three. They start playing with three, they start picking up results. It's not because we're guessing at it or we're playing FIFA Manager. We know what we're talking about.
I am, Blake.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Former player, you play the game, you understand the game, you can read the game, you understand it tactically, technically, you understand every element of the game.
Brilliant.
So, you know, these things are happening, not by luck. So I think that's why the boot room's got such a good following, because people see these things and know, well, these boys were calling for that 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Oh, it's always good to have a bit of bit of backup on what we've been saying.
But listen, as a player, brilliant, you know, and sad to see him go off against Spurs, because he's the kind of player who can unlock the door. But at the same time,
let's save him, I think, because
at the same time, I was going to say, watching the game, you can see. Surely, you can see when these little patterns of playing, these little rotations were happening by Spurs. When Cardiff, there was a time when I think it was Patterson was on the right, made a little run forward. The ball got passed inside to Camarasa, and Camarasa slipped it. It was up front for Reed, and I think it was all the way around, got a block in, and it went for a corner. That was the only time that we created a little slip.
Interchange.
Yeah. But it happened almost by accident. Now, these are the things that I'm saying, that if you practice and put work on a training ground, these things just start to happen. Like Spurs, it happens automatically. It's like a system.
Yeah, it's their way of playing, isn't it? Cardiff haven't...
No, it's everyone's way of playing, Dom.
But Cardiff haven't developed... haven't had too long to develop their own attacking style in the Premier League, really. They've had to walk before they can run, in a way.
No, Dom, you're off the point, mate. Sorry, kid.
I'm just offering Cardiff some latitude, I think, because I think their form probably deserves it, but...
You're not going to get props from the fans by trying to make out that
I'm
trying
to
nail
them.
What you're trying to do is trying to make out that I'm nailing them. I'm not nailing them. I'm just trying to say to you how things have to improve.
No, I'm not.
And you have to look to improvement all the time. I know exactly what you're doing. I'm not stupid. Born big, Dom. Come on, mate. You know, you're not going to endear yourself to the fans more by saying, oh, well, I think they deserve credit. We're giving them credit. I'm giving them credit. It's not about giving them more credit or less credit. It's about pointing out what I see. That's the whole idea of the show.
So let's end part one on a fairly even keel.
Yes, Dom.
The biggest positive and the biggest negative from the Christmas period for each of you.
Okay.
Paul, start with you.
Well, stating the obvious with respect, the away form and the home form.
That's the opposite to what it's been.
Yeah, in the, which in is the season which is the irony, so but battered at home twice, 8 goals conceded in 2 games. Really disappointing that those early goals are taking the sting out of, because the Cardiff City Stadium factor is so important for this team at home, because, you know, clearly the opposition have got much superior players and Cardiff need that stadium factor and the fans to really whip up a frenzy, and the game needs to be tight going into 60 minutes and then you play the next 10 and then it becomes anyone's game, but it's like game over against these bigger teams. I mean, how long did it take Harry Kane to score? 2 minutes?
2 minutes, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it was an awful goal to concede.
Takes a sting out of everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's game over at that point, because this team's got more about it than that in terms of fighting spirit, but very quickly it's 2-0 and Eriksen's goal
jumped out the window.
I thought he could have been closed down a bit quicker than he was. And then it's 3-0. Son shouldn't have been allowed to get that shot away, you know.
And Morrison should have done better with that.
I think what you do, did you stay till the end of the game?
Yeah.
Well, I just couldn't believe that the fans stayed singing. Well, I could really, that because they've been, but they were like telling the players, don't worry about it, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're accepting it. You've gone to Leicester. You've got a great result. You've got 4 points from, what, yeah, 4 games we weren't expecting to get, probably 2. We've got 4, so we're still on course to stay up, still in a good position. We're still with you, 100%. But they are desperate for one of those, you know, giant killings. Or, yeah, they are.
Ain't going to happen with every time they're conceding goals before 10 minutes has gone.
No, because any game plan's out the window.
So is that the biggest positive for you, the way the fans have been over this period, or
just this season? I've had friends come to me who are not season ticket holders. They've come to a couple of games and they're saying to me like, oh, I can't believe like we got beat, and like after the game, fans were just like singing like mad. I've never heard that before. So they've been the one constant, I think, the positive, both home and away from home.
It happened with the Man City game. Cardiff were 5-0 down and LA, LA, LA was being sung louder than at any stage during that particular game. Mm. And I tweeted after about 88 minutes last on Tuesday night, saying Cardiff are battered 3-0 and yet the fans in the Canton stand are singing right to the bitter end.
Yeah.
They were
yesterday.
Other grounds might have booed after 3-0, maybe.
I think Spurs fans...
They would have done, Dom.
Fans and players, when they were walking off, because they shake hands for a bit, and it's probably the loudest... Well, it wasn't the loudest, because there wasn't all of them singing, but there was still a good couple of thousand of them singing, you know, ole, ole, and what have you. And they must have been walking off thinking, we've just smashed you, 3-0. What are you doing like? But that shows there's a real bond between fan, team, manager, and I think it's that what you're trying to get to, that like 50-60 minute mark, and then allow those, because you know, even when you get close to the goal, the noise goes up, and you get a corner, anticipation, a long throw, it all, everything goes up. And I think 60-70 minutes, if you get to that point, teams like Tottenham then start thinking, we can't lose a goal here, by the way, because we're in major, because these fans will go up again, these players will go up again. So you're right, if they can get to that halfway, 50-60 minute point, staying in the game, then...
Someone said to me on social media that it was 0-0 for 60 minutes. I said, I think it was the wrong 60 minutes.
The first
60 is a lot better than the last 60 when you're already 3-0 down.
Yeah, but I mean...
But that's a very apt point there, Dom, because if you were to reverse those 60 minutes, imagine what the atmosphere would have been like if it were 0-0 at 60 minutes. Yeah.
You wouldn't see Spurs strolling around and scoring three easy goals.
And those fans do make a difference, because it does influence a referee. A referee is only human.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It does have a knock-on effect. Absolutely. And it will also influence even players as experienced and seasoned as Tottenham. You know, but... once it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 27 minutes gone or less than that, whatever it was, it's a training exercise for Spurs.
It was after about 25 minutes, you know? Wasn't it?
So we've talked about the positive. That's the disappointment, that the home form, which has been so stoic in recent times, which is, a lot of that is down to the fans inspiring the players, by the way. You know, they feed off one another. That whatever the quality of that opposition, to be battered like that twice, and let's be honest, right, it was 3-0 and 5-1. It could have been much more than that on both occasions. To be battled like that twice is the disappointment, and just emphasises the importance of doing what they have done away from home in picking up 4 points out of a possible six.
Yeah,
you know,
it puts pressure on your home game.
By the way, beat a Leicester team who, over the same period of time, have beaten Chelsea, Man City, and Everton.
Yeah, crazy.
Which puts it into perspective, the quality of that performance at King.
The away performance, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a short break then, and then we've got loads of questions to ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So Nathan, Darren Brown has asked about three or four
questions. Darren
Brown? Our old mate Darren again. The magic man, as we call him.
Magic man.
Let's start off with this one. He says, do you think the position we stand in 16th is very good, or all things considered, going into the new year? Certainly would take it at the end of the season.
I think it's excellent. I think it's beyond good. Like I said, the first five or six games, I think we were all thinking, what were we saying? They're going to have to learn some, you know, tricks of the trade. They're going to learn some lessons really quickly. So effectively, they've thrown away 15-odd points to play for and picked up 18 subsequently in what? 13 games? So
if you compare the form to some other teams in the Premier League, I think Fulham got off to a winning start in the first game.
Yeah,
maybe.
Everyone's been talking them up.
Yeah.
You know, so I think 18 points, even if they were in the bottom three at this point, would have been excellent. But 18 points sat outside the relegation, you know, I just if they can keep that mentality and that spirit, they'll be all right. The worry is, you know, you might come up against Tottenham and get beat 5-0, 3-0. But then what it means is you then have to beat Huddersfield at home. Now, if Huddersfield were more than capable of coming and beating you 2-1, 1-0, 3-1, right, on the day.
Yeah.
If you lose that, teams like Huddersfield now are on like a run of 5 or 6 losses. It can happen like that. The worst time to get into that losing period is over Christmas, because you got so many games in such a short space of time.
Cardiff did last season, didn't they, when they had that poor run in the promotion season. It sort of...
But they had that gap which kept them...
Made everyone feel a bit unsteady,
two.
They didn't, because it happened in a short space of time. Some questions about January.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Rees says, do you think Warnock has the pulling power for more quality players to want to come to Cardiff in January?
Great question.
It's a good question, yeah.
And he kind of... I would marry that into what I was saying earlier about progressing and about the intent and about the Aaron Ramsey thing, you know.
And the Camarasa thing.
Yeah, it's not just about who the manager is, it's about the coach. And I've said on the programme before, you know, about Neil bringing in a top coach, because he can manage the top coach, no problem. But that can bring fresher and newer ideas, because I think if you're going to attract the calibre of player you need to not survive all the time, you don't want to survive in the Premier League, you want to compete in the Premier League, if you want to attract that type of player, players do look at, you know, what kind of systems you play, you know, are you...
But it's like developing the style, so people want to
the
come
model.
In
correct.
And play
correct.
Into that,
correct.
That system.
So if, at the moment, I would say there's you might get someone who's looking to come to the Premier League. You might get someone who wants to play for Neil Warnock. But if you give most players the opportunity, I think they're going to go for a more progressive type of manager
playing
than Neil.
An established Premier League team. Who
absolutely, yeah.
I guess why you've seen people join Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And
it's why it's so difficult for us to go and buy someone, because you highlight someone and I guarantee you there's going to be at least 6 other clubs after him.
Yeah, well, there's this Emiliano Sala, the non-striker, reports coming out today in French media that he doesn't want to join Cardiff for whatever reason. possibly for what you're saying.
Yeah, and those, you know, I think fans forget that players actually analyse the club who's trying to sign them. You analyse training ground facilities, you analyse the ground, the atmosphere, the manager, the coaching staff, systems of play. Yeah, all this is done before you even start talking Turkey.
Let alone the weather, which is never going to be a
but it is God's country. That's one thing we got.
Camarasa's girlfriend likes Cardiff, by all accounts.
Of course she does. It's God's
country.
Why
would you not like Cardiff? It's as good a city as you get in the UK.
It's a lovely city. Yeah.
And most beautiful countryside.
I was going to disparage some other town there, but let's move on. Another one from Darren, which ties into something I wanted to ask Blakey. He says, will the deals all be last minute? And I want to ask, why does it always seem to be last minute? Why do these things go into the last few days, hours even, of the window?
I don't know, because Chelsea have signed Pulisic today, done.
Yeah.
So all that work has been done and then loading back to Dortmund. So it can be done. It's just, you know, these things should have been, for me, knowing how desperate they were to bring players in, I would have said by January the 2nd, at least two or three deals would have been done. But they would have been done and organised back in October, November, December for me. You know, it would have been a case of come January 1st, you're doing this, it's already done, sorted. You know?
So Morlock said it's been difficult for them to do it that early.
I don't know. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it can't. It depends on the situation, the player, the agent, the league they're playing in, the league they're coming from, the country they're coming from. Do they pass the international game specific to get into the country? You know, are they of a certain age? If they've only played a year, then you can't get in if you're from certain countries. You know, if you're from Europe, fine. If you're coming from, you know, Australia or something like that, it's different. So there's lots of different rules and regulations, but you know, try and get it done as early as possible. Don't be trying to sign someone now, approaching now.
Three or four games extra they could be able to play in the relegation fight, which could make a
difference. This is it. Then you've got things like Cup of Nations, different around the world, you know. So there's lots of things to take into account. Absolutely. But try and get your business done early. Doing it late, I would say it looks desperate, late signings. You know, that's what it looks like.
It's like a mad scramble, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you haven't got who you wanted, so I would go for Paul. Paul decides, no, I don't want to go. And we're halfway through January. And I look, right, well, let's go for Dominic then. And Dominic says, yeah, I'll come. But Dominic says, my agent heard you were looking at Paul.
Like your first choice, yeah.
Yeah, so I know you're desperate. So how much are you going to pay? 10 grand a week? Or you can triple that. I'll take 30. And my agent says, instead of paying me 100 grand, you can pay me 300 as well. Or you're going to get to the end of January without any signings and your fans are going to rip you and if you go down. But they start painting this doom
it's
picture.
It's one thing on top of another there, isn't it?
Right.
It complicates
right.
the entire
right.
picture.
So try and get your business done early. So listen, nothing's happened as of yet, but fingers crossed, all those irons are in the fire and they'll be done.
Certainly be an interesting month and... Yeah, absolutely. Follow Wales Online for all those daily updates.
Can I just ask, because I'm the other side of Abergavenny, what are the rumours, by the way? You know, obviously, I thought the non-striker was going to be a... Is there?
Well, the main ones are him and Nathaniel Clyne, who we know that they are interested in both of those players. Warnock has spoken about he's only allowed one loan from another Premier League club again, so whether that's...
Which would be Clyne.
If it is Clyne, it means he can't get a striker in from the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I think Palace are after Solanke from Liverpool, so Cardiff mm-hmm. wouldn't obviously be able to do that. Elsewhere, it's little bits and pieces, really. Nothing too concrete has emerged, so I expect it to be, you know, we'll get more and more names over the month and it'll become apparent. Mm. Thanks for that, Blakey. It's a bit of fluff.
Yeah.
Paul... Before we get on to Gillingham, I want you to bring up the next section, which you're in charge of, based after a piece you wrote on 2018 being the, ooh, what you say, greatest year for Cardiff City.
I think that 2018 was the best 12 months Cardiff City have had in decades. And I've covered this club from the time Blakey was playing for them.
'50s.
The magnificent football played under Dave Jones, the FA Cup final, the Millennium Stadium winner by Andy Campbell, the first promotion under Malky Mackay. But I actually think 2018 eclipses everything, and I say it for these reasons. One, promotion was achieved totally against the odds. It's easy to think that now. Cardiff did really well. They were being written off pretty much everywhere before the season started. They came into 2018 on the back of four defeats on the trot in the league, and people saying this is the real Cardiff now, they'll fall away. And yet they put this fantastic run together and won promotion. Two, the fact that they, and this is in no particular order by the way, two, the fact that they've ended it out of the bottom three, which is a remarkable feat considering they're red hot favourites, even below Huddersfield, to finish rock bottom, with many saying they're the worst, even now, people claiming they're still the worst team in Premier League history. I see you responded to a tweet today, Dom, about
absolutely
that
from
a writer.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Oh, there's
I don't
there's
do social
not,
media.
Let's not call him out, but he said that Cardiff was still worse than Derby, which I said was ridiculous.
Which Dom lots of robust defence of Cardiff, and rightly so. But the fact they're out worse of they end the year out of the bottom three. But three, and I think this is the most important part, but everything is interlinked. The reconnect with the fans. Blake has already spoken about the noise the fans have made home and away. There is a the special reconnect. Why are you smiling at that?
Because it makes me want to put my boots on, Paul. That's what I was thinking. Those fans.
But there is a reconnect. The noise, the pandemonium at the King Power when Camarasa got the winner, but the support throughout. The fact they were still singing when 3-0 down against Tottenham right at the end, as you've just said.
Yeah.
But the noise and fervour, that reconnect from a club that was split. We're not going into all that again, but it's important to make the point. From a club that was split to where the club is now, those three elements make 2018 the best year I can ever remember in the club. But the reason I want to raise this with Blakey is
that... Blakey's not going
to
argue.
No, he doesn't need to, because I put this out on social media and I asked fans, do they agree with me? I'm, quite happy for them to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Do they prefer one or two mentioned Andy Campbell being as the best moment? Others were mentioning Dave Jones's football and the Kumas, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, Blakey, although people are agreeing with me, there are just as many disagreeing and saying no. The 1992-93 promotion year under Eddie May, which you obviously played in, remains our greatest year.
Mm.
And for younger listeners, that's akin now. They can't identify with this, I'm sure, because that's akin now to Cardiff City pipping Lincoln and MK Dons to win League One, to win League Two. That's the equivalent to what it was. But they still focus in and drill in on that year that you won the title as their favourite year, even ahead of this.
I think it's because... The football and the team, and if you look at the players who are in that League Two team, I would say, even when I went to Sheffield United, we didn't play football like we did at Cardiff. We were very back to front, very as Cardiff are now. We very much relied on Big Flo, Nath, you get the knockdown off him, quick power, poof, way, score goals. Glyn Hodges beat a midfielder, slip Blake's in, score goals. So we were more one-dimensional at Sheffield United than we were at Cardiff. At Cardiff, you had Nicky Richardson. He loved the 1-2 outside of the foot, go the other side. Loves a swing, drop of the body, drop of the shoulder. You had then a Paul Miller who just shoot ridiculous goals from everywhere. Anyway, you had Chris Pike. Pike would get you 25 goals a season. Great athlete, great finisher, Carl Dale. Whip it, strong, aggressive, get goals from anywhere and everywhere. Little Jason Perry played like a giant at the back, tackle anything.
But it was League Two.
Paul Ramsey.
It was League Two.
It was. But what I'm saying is, in League Two, the football you're playing will probably be what they're playing in Championship today.
Yeah.
See, the point it was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, I think it's Paul.
And that's what I always say. Even Cardiff fans, listen, I played in a team that played entertaining football. Phil Stant, aggressive. Carl Dale, aggressive. Myself, aggressive. Surly, aggressive. Paul Ramsey, aggressive. Kev Ratcliffe, aggressive. Jason Perry, aggressive. We had this team of little, we were all fighters. We had three or four who weren't. But we could play. We could do everything. That's why I love playing in that team, because you could do... That's where Eddie Newton came from, Chelsea. What did Eddie Newton do? As soon as he left us, he went back to Chelsea. He scored two at Tottenham. Yeah. That weekend, scored two at Tottenham, playing because he had come from a team who were playing football. Boom, boom, boom.
See, again, the analogy is with the fans, because Cardiff had come out of this turgid period of the horror show in the 80s. And...
This is great. This is like a history lesson for me.
Suddenly, against...
I'm going to tell you a story.
Equivalent of League 2 today, Dom. Suddenly, for Division 3 as it was then, against teams like Shrewsbury and Barnet, there were 20,000 inside Ninian Park. It was that era when the Ayatollah came to prominence.
Yes,
it was that era when Eddie May's Barmy Army, that chant that you hear now, you know, Neil Warnock's Barmy Army, it was that era that was... And these fans are still telling me... They're not disagreeing with me as such, but they're saying, no, that was even more magical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because we went everywhere. And I remember last week, I was with Eddie Newton last week, and we were chatting, blah, blah, blah. He said to me, I was in... So if you're a fan, a Cardiff fan, and where's the guy from? Anyway, but he was in London. Don't know what... He said the guy wasn't Welsh, but he was in London, walking through the streets of London, Kensington, something like that. Guy stopped him, said, "You Eddie Newton?" And he was like, "Yeah, I am, yeah." He's like, "Ha ha, you're one of my heroes. I'm a Cardiff City fan." Da, 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 da. They had a picture together, everything, blah, 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 blah. He said, like,
see, the part
that
I make,
period you played for, and Eddie was only here 3 months.
I know.
But it was a year before we got promoted.
The other point I make, growing, Dom, is that Blakey and Eddie Newton played at the top level, but there are other players in that team, like Jason Perry, no disrespect, Phil Stamp, Carl Dale, who were lower league footballers at the end of the day, although Phil Dale could possibly have gone to higher level. But they are enshrined in Cardiff City folklore for that Eddie May era, aren't they?
Well,
you know?
That's what clubs are about.
Let me pay far more than Stephen Corker will be in the Premier League.
Yesterday, I'm doing the commentary. A gentleman comes along, puts six pictures on in front of me, about this big. Put six pictures. Can you sign these for me, please, Nate? Yeah, no problem. They're all of that season.
Yeah.
And there was one with me with Eddie May, and I said, "Oh, that's a wicked picture." And he said, "Nate, you can have it if you want." He said, "You can have it if you want, and I'll bring another one next week. Can you sign it for me?" I said, 100%, because I haven't got no pictures of Eddie May. And it's just, it was after, I think it was after the cup game, it was me and Eddie May. He's got his arm around my shoulder, and we've got our fists up. And it's just, mate, yeah. And that was yesterday that happened, you know. Still, I'm like, where have you pulled these from? They're pristine as well, brand new. He just had them developed and everything.
Yeah.
And he said, "Will you come back? When I come back next week, will you sign the Eddie May when I get a new one?" I said, "Yeah," but he gave me a picture yesterday. So
I mean, I guess different generations will have different opinions, won't they? Some will go with Paul's year, some will go with Nathan's year.
Look, I'm going to stick with what I said. I just think that this year just eclipsed it. But remember, I covered that Eddie May era. That was a magical time to be covering Cardiff.
You've got to realise, I got into Cardiff City's team, they were averaging probably 3,000 or 4,000 at home.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And if Rugby International was on, it would dip down to about 2,500.
Yeah.
By the year we got promoted, which was 3 years later, four seasons later, we were getting 22,000 at home to Shrewsbury. 22,000 people, yes, I said it.
You know what, Nathan? That's equivalent to the remarkable rise in numbers we've got listening to this podcast as well. So it must be the Blake factor.
No, mate, it was. But for me, I'm obviously biased tonight. And, you know, it was a great time for me. I was a kid, I was 19. You know?
We're going to have to. Brilliant stuff for both of you. I mean, I could listen to you for hours talking about that, to be fair. Let's quickly talk about Gillingham then. No Premier League predictions this weekend, Blakey. But what sort of a team are you expecting Cardiff to field, and what sort of result are you expecting?
Can I answer that? Because I've just written down a
team.
I've written down a likely team.
Nathan fancies getting his boots on, so he's
reckoning. I reckon it'll be something like this: Smithies,
yeah,
Peltier,
yeah.
I think Manga will play. Connolly, Bennett or Cunningham, could be either. Probably Joe Bennett, because he didn't play these last two games. Tamora and Rowles in the midfield.
Yep, that's
Mendes, Lang, Harris, Medine up top. And possibly Junior Hoylett just behind them.
I think Reid, but that's all right,
Bobby Reid, yeah. You're probably...
No, Harris?
Yeah, I've got Harris, yeah,
Harris on there. Harris on the left when he's yeah. Harris and Mendes
yeah.
Lang, maybe.
Yeah. And I predict Gary Medine will score his first Cardiff City goal. Cardiff will be in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Wee! Boom, boom.
So what's that, a prediction? What scoreline is that?
2-0.
2-0. Nathan, anything to add on that?
Actually, in a minute. So it's one of them. You just want to get in, get the job done. Cardiff probably limp over 1-0 late on. Might even be a replay back at Cardiff. Limp
you don't over want a 1-0 deflating there. Defeat, though, do you? Even though it's... You probably don't unwanted fixture, but
you don't. But you've got the ready-made reason to say, well, we want to focus on the Premier League. But I always say, for me, if you get beyond those first two games, the FA Cup becomes something that can give your team extra confidence.
Yeah,
definitely.
You almost rather lose now than lose in a couple of games'
yeah,
time.
Absolutely, yeah. Go out now, third round rather than the fifth.
Yeah. Prediction.
You just said
1-0. Okay, I'm gonna go for a storming win. Cardiff to rack up the goals. I'm gonna go 4-1.
How many are Gary Nadine gonna score of those four?
None. Right. Bobby Reid hat trick.
Okay.
Think Gary will play?
Yeah.
He'll have to, won't he? Needs some game time.
He does need some game time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anything else? Said, for,
if he's going elsewhere in this window, they won't necessarily want a cup tie him, will they? So I suppose that's to be borne in mind a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if he's going to Bolton on loan or wherever, he's, you know.
They got bumped 6-0, my old team.
Yeah,
they're going down, mate.
Well, maybe they need Medine then. Maybe he'll keep them up.
Great show to start the year, Dom.
Yeah, well, do you still love me, Dom?
Me and Blakey are embracing after our...
he had a little tantrum there on me.
Feisty debate.
He had a tantrum on me, Paul, didn't he? His face was a picture. Yeah, I've seen
the devil's advocate, you know. He's got to play his role.
I see the horns come out of your head and everything.
Steam coming out. Well, let's go for a nice cool drink then, and we'll put it on ice for a week's time. We'll be back after the Gillingham game to look at some crucial games against Huddersfield and Newcastle to come. Thanks all for joining us. This podcast is obviously brought to you by Giovanni's. You can listen on iTunes, Wales Online or Acast. But for now, from the three of us, it's goodbye.
Au revoir.